From the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Oh, beautiful. All heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self their country loved?
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. We serve the world. Millennial Veterans in Action Roundtable. And, of course, we are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. And we are pleased to have in our studio Ken Porter, retired naval veteran, third-class petty officer. We're glad to have him here. How are you?
Good. That retired part is a new bit on my title.
Yes, so, I know. Well, that's exactly right. We were talking. Tell us about that quickly.
Yeah. I 8 years.
Eight years. That's
flew
good.
By. Yeah. It's, so yeah, I did eight years in the military with the Navy. I joined back in 2011. Mm-hmm. Still pretty young, but I remember because I'm 27 now and joining at 19. Signing an eight-year contract seemed forever. Right? It might as well have been forever. So it's amazing to be here.
Were you
here
initially
today.
Signed up for 8 years?
Yeah.
Oh, you did initially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, straight out the gate. Yeah.
Okay.
Eight-year contract.
So. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know they didn't do that when I was.
Yeah. They're doing some weird stuff for contracts now. It was 6 years active and then 2 years inactive, and the last of my inactive bit just expired.
Oh, I got you. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You should see what they're doing with the pilot contracts. They're signing. I had a buddy who signed maybe 2 years ago for a 10-year contract.
For pilot.
For pilot, yeah. Because those guys are in training for 4 or 5 of those years.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, their contracts are getting longer.
But that's a great job.
Yeah. Exactly. He signed it without any hesitation. It was
I had a good friend, well, not a friend, well, yeah, a friend of the family who was a pilot. And I would have loved to have done that, but my wearing glasses took care of that, so you know that's the problem. So anyway, we are so pleased to have you here, and tell us what you're doing. You're doing something that is really great here.
Right. Yeah. So I'm working with the Chair Slayer Foundation. I just celebrated yesterday. The day before yesterday, at a fundraiser for my getting out of the Navy. You know, brought out a lot of friends, a lot of folks from my network. What we did was we raised some money for the Chair Slayer Foundation. And what they do is they take folks who were injured in an accident or in combat or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Folks who've lost the use of their legs, and they teach them how to drive again with a hand-controlled car.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible because, it's one of those things where, folks are trying to refine their independence and they help them find that. But what's even more special about their foundation is that they not only teach you how to drive a hand-controlled car, after that they put you in a hand-controlled race car after you get some proficiency, and they let you loose on a racetrack.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So so not only, help you get that independence back with driving, but then also to introduce you to something new and fun that you could do, even though that you're in a chair now.
That is great. We have a caller that certainly has something to tell us about that. Let's go to Miss Ruth. Miss Ruth, hi.
Hi. You know, Cliff, your guest just personifies what I'm getting ready to say. First of all, let me thank your guest from last week for persevering, opening the doors for women. I have four immediate Air Force veterans in my family.
Oh, great.
My free-spirited granddaughter grew up in Las Vegas. We were really concerned about her. She's been in the Air Force now for 3 years, and she is just soaring. So I just wanted to thank you for highlighting the benefits of service.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ms.
Okay,
Ruth.
Bye-bye.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible.
Yeah,
It kind of links to my story, too. I was a terrible high school student. And the military helped give me another lease on trying to, you know, putting together a career and a successful life for myself. So, you know, I had
a
0.6 GPA in high school and was not on track to going to school or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I did a year of school and joined the Navy, and it really helped turn my life around.
Let me ask you, how did you decide on the Navy?
You know what? I always had an interest in the Navy for some reason. I'm not entirely sure why. But then I actually did a year of college down at Illinois State.
Mm-hmm.
And I participated in Army ROTC for a year.
Okay.
And then I went and joined the Navy.
That turned you off in the Army,
they
right?
They took me on a field exercise for like a week, and I was like, I'm good on the field. I don't need to do that. You can put me on the ship, you know, with normal surroundings and,
You're not on a ship in normal surroundings.
There's real ground under you. You know, concrete and doors and all those sorts of
in the Navy.
Yeah, all those sorts of amenities. We get a little bit more.
You know something? I don't know what kind of ROTC they had on here. Yeah, I'm sorry. Whoever it was wrong, because we sure could have used you, Ken Borden, to the Army. Let me say this though. One thing I've always wanted to do, and maybe somebody will help me. I have always wanted to go on an aircraft carrier.
Oh yeah,
and it's a house.
When a carrier goes underway, they take usually around 5,000, 5,500 people underway.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, they're floating cities.
Yes, absolutely, and I've always wanted to do that. And somebody was going to try to arrange it for me, and something came up, and it didn't happen. But I'm still hoping that that'll happen. If anybody's listening, help me. If you're
ever in Virginia, over at Norfolk. Last time I was over there, I got to get on the Eisenhower and check some things out.
Did you really?
So,
yeah. I don't need to go out on it. I just want to go and watch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see it. So this whole chair slayer thing is great.
Yeah.
Tell us about this.
It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. So the founder, he wanted to be with us today. His name is Rob Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
He founded the organization. He suffered a motorcycle injury where he shattered his back, and you know, after that, he couldn't use his legs anymore, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, motorsports was a thing that he was always into, mm-hmm. so he decided to develop this this foundation. Him by trade, he's an engineer, so there really wasn't a system in place for folks to hand-controlled systems to drive a car exist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't one, I guess, that you could call as enthusiast grade, so folks who are like really into vehicles. So he decided to develop a system that folks who were into vehicles could actually use and like use to drive competitively.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing this, you know, trying to find folks who have been involved in some sort of a trauma and are in a chair and bring them out to get them back behind the wheel of a car. And they do it in a multiple different ways. What they do, sometimes they're at different car events. So there's an event coming up called Grid Life up in Gingerman Speedway, I believe, up in Michigan. And they're bringing a bunch of guys who are wheelchair bound up to that, mm-hmm. and get them behind the wheel of the car. Or a lot of times they'll fly a guy out. And not only get them behind the wheel of the car, but then, you know, like I said, he's wheelchair bound himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll show them, you know, different ways they can work on their car despite being
That's
in a
great.
Wheelchair and to show them that, you know, this doesn't have to limit you from being able to still do all the things that the rest of us could do with cars. So It's absolutely incredible. He wanted to be here today. He actually flew in from Utah, but I think he got held up somewhere. You know, like I said, it's difficult. He's wheelchair bound himself. So
yeah.
So we'll be doing justice.
Maybe we'll
today.
Have him another time because that's a great thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now you know the fact you said he got hurt in a motorcycle accident.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the one time I tried to ride a motorcycle, one of the guy in front of me fell off of his, and the damn cycle looked like it was trying to turn around and kill him.
Yeah, you know, they're pretty frightening.
Yeah,
you know, when I was,
I can jump out of planes, but no.
Yeah. You know, the Navy had me out in Manila, the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Out there was some ships coming in the harbor. I did logistics with the Navy,
mm-hmm.
so they flew me out to help do some preparations for some ships coming in. Some of my Filipino colleagues. It's a big scooter city.
Okay.
And gosh, one night I hopped on the back of the scooter with one of those guys, and I was like, never again.
You too? Yeah.
Yeah. Never again. Me too. Yeah. Nope. City, yeah. Nope. Being on those things are absolutely frightening.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, nope. But. Rob, he's an adrenaline junkie. He hasn't gotten enough. He, you know, hurt himself and then it was like, all right, I'm going to hop in a car and intentionally drive it as fast as I can despite my accident. So, it's we're trying to get some more guys, some more veterans out there to do that. So
he has created this situation. It's called a chair slayer, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So okay. That's his nickname.
That's the foundation.
His chair slayer. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's particularly incredible about this and appealing is that, you know, this segment that we're doing is specifically about millennial veterans issues. And
mm-hmm.
This is something I think, you know, millennial veterans can, you know,
right.
really connect to
exactly.
Those who are really in the car. I mean, anybody who's been on any military base will see, you know, some pretty incredible cars because that's what we're into.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, we're really trying to find some millennial guys who've, you know, suffered some sort of trauma and get them out there.
I tell you, it's a great thing to do this. I'm sure that. Do we have any idea, Ken, just how many people have these vehicles at this point?
Yeah, so not many. He developed this system. I know there's a couple cars out there that has, because he's developed this technology, and I know it went on sale recently, and before it was, he had just a few cars. So I'm
okay.
not sure how uh-huh. many exist, but they're definitely out there, and he's trying to get more people involved in this so we can get some more people out there doing it. But, yeah, we had a... on Thursday, we had a celebration where I was able to bring out all the memorabilia from my career. I was able to partner with a bar, and they donated part of the proceeds. And all the folks that came out, you know, we raised some money to donate to the foundation. And we're going to fly a couple guys out to get behind the wheel of his car. And, you know, he'll give them the system so mm-hmm. they can install in their car after that.
Have you driven it?
Not yet, but I plan to go
yeah.
out there
yeah. okay.
when we do get some identify some people to drive their car. I'm going to go out there as well to see, and yeah, I'm going to get. You better believe I'm going to get behind the wheel of that car too.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just wondering how it. You know, you have these feelings mentally as to how to drive a car, and this is totally different, of course. You need, I presume, can these go on the street? Yeah, I guess they do. They go on the street.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. Right. So
otherwise, there's no need to have them. They go on the street.
Yeah. So there's plenty
regular
of those
size
around.
Car.
There's plenty of hand controlled cars out there on the street.
Okay.
So there's I assume in the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's got this system that he's trying to get a street and track use. Sort of a vehicle, which is
track
really,
use or racing,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
right? Yeah, which
yeah,
is
he's really trying
just
to
super
do it.
Cool, right? Yeah, because yeah. as you can imagine, you know, most of these systems are built for, you know, your regular economy car,
sure,
just regular automatic, but he's got a full system that has a clutch and everything. And yeah, he's developed this himself, and it's pretty incredible.
You know, I'm just thinking about how it would be, Ken. You know, that I'm driving this car and I need to stop, and I'm
yeah. So he's got a lever, kind of like where your turn signal would be.
Okay,
there's an extra lever sticking out,
okay.
And you pull it down for throttle, and I believe you push it in like you would for your high beams. That's like the brake.
Okay,
and then
okay.
He has like a knob on there to mm-hmm. switch through the gears as well.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's really a pretty trick system.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing because there's so many people, I'm sure. Now, what do you have any idea, and I'm sorry you couldn't be here, but about cost?
A lot
of this is foundation anyway.
Yes, this
yeah.
is a foundation, right?
Yeah.
So their whole goal is to get this to people free.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, it's foundation, yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. get the system into people's cars for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he just developed a new system. He had a system before, you know, and that's the thing. This stuff could be kind of costly to develop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thousands of dollars for
sure.
a hand control system,
mm-hmm. Created
a regular hand control
yeah.
system. So
right.
a motorsport grade hand control system, you know, we're looking at, you know, I would imagine at least $5,000-$10,000 or something like that. So,
is he? I wish he was here about that. Mm-hmm. What is this motor thing? He's really into this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think most people who need this, you think that most, well, we don't know. But
well, yeah, so his whole thing is, you know, I think the beauty of this foundation is it's more than just the independence piece.
Yeah.
Like getting the independence back.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, a lot of people think, you know, I can't do this or that now that I'm in a wheelchair. And he's like, well, you know, maybe you can't do some of the things you used to do, but, you know, I'm going to introduce you to going to the racetrack, you know, on the weekends, go to the racetrack with your car, you know, go around, do some laps. And then afterwards, you know, park your car, change out the brake pads. You could do that yourself, even though you're in a chair, and get back out there.
Listen, if I went into a racetrack and I can use all my limbs. After I did that, I would need one of these.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man. You should see what he could do online. He could do more with his hands than I could do with my entire body on a racetrack or even on public roads. So,
he's obviously somebody who is really, and this is great. He's doing it.
Yeah,
but I love it. You know, this is fantastic for a lot of folks, and particularly because it's a foundation. But what gets me is not only the fact that he's able to do that, that Parsons is able to do that, but then to go even farther to talk about racing. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There's the independence, and they wouldn't
actually insist. Well, you know, you need to do this so people can race. I don't think
that's his big piece. Is
yeah, exactly.
Getting people behind the wheel on the racetrack. That's his thing that he's trying to do. So it's
wonderful what he's doing with the racetrack. Oh, that's
yeah, wild. Yeah. So we celebrated the end of my career on Thursday, and we raised some
great.
Money for the foundation. And if folks wanna. You know, we need some help two ways.
Okay.
One, mm-hmm. I need help identifying people who would want to do something like this. So somebody who's, lost some of their mobility, you know, in their legs, a veteran who's lost some mobility, mm-hmm. who would be interested in getting behind the wheel of a race car on a racetrack. And Rob would, you know, help them every step of the way learning
That's
how to
great.
Learn and drive the system.
Yeah.
And the other part, too, is, you know, we want to make this absolutely no cost to, you know, the veterans that this
beautiful.
Affects. So, you know, we've already raised enough to fly out a couple people to get behind the wheel of this car. But, you know, we want to get as many veterans as we can out there. So
I just think what you're doing is great because I'm looking at this honorable discharge happy hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Come celebrate the end of my Navy career with me. All money raised will go to the Chair Slayer Foundation,
mm-hmm.
to get injured veterans in a hand-controlled race car, 20% of food and drink sales donated by Simone's, 100% of Anchors Away, the sales donated. This is just, can you join us in donation? And that's what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, so
the celebration of your discharge and all the money for this event celebrating you is going to this event.
Right, right, yeah.
Which I
so,
think is just great for you.
I mean, yeah, it's not about me. You know, I wanted to, you know, celebrate the end of my career, but, mm-hmm. you know, the pay it forward and, you know, the military opened so many doors for me.
That's great.
It really changed my life. So, you know, this is just an incredible way to pay it forward. And it went really well. Like I said, I put a lot of my uniforms on display. Apparently the Navy has got some new uniforms too. I was, my family from California is in town, and I was at Navy Pier with them yesterday. And mm-hmm. the Navy, they have new dress whites now.
Okay.
Yeah, they have new piping around the... It made me all reminiscent and wanting to join again, seeing all the newly minted sailors as I just closed the chapter on my career. So, yeah.
Did you think about, oh, let me change this? They'd be happy, I'm sure, for you to reenlist.
I was on the Navy website earlier looking at the officer pay scale. So
there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So. I don't know. Maybe someday.
They'd be happy to have Kim Porter back.
I hope so.
Yeah, that is great. Well, this is just great, Ken. Thank you so much. Give us a close.
Yeah, so if you want to support the foundation and mm-hmm. help me celebrate the end of my career and get some folks who are injured behind the wheel of a hand-controlled car, mm-hmm. One, if you know somebody who would appreciate something like this, please reach out to me. My email is kenporter1911@gmail.com. Or if you want to donate to get some guys flown out, you can donate at gofundme.com mm-hmm. /honorable-discharge. And there mm-hmm. you can donate. Any amount helps, $5. You know, really, you know, a plane ticket allows us to fly, you know, a guy out to a racing event and get him behind the wheel of one of these cars. So it's not a super high bar.
That is just great. That's a wonderful thing to do, and we just appreciate what you are doing particularly.
Appreciate it, Cliff.
Listen, Ken, you're great, and we just hope that, you know, that as you said, we wanted him here, but you have certainly given us all the information we need.
Yeah, and I'll update him. He's in town the next few days, so I'll track him down.
Right.
And, yeah. We'll see.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cliff.
Appreciate you. All right. And after his 8 years. All right. We'll be back. Stay with us. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It's 5:30.
Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Keep current with all the hot news trends by tuning into the only urban talk station on iHeartRadio. We are the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. America's Heroes Group. We serve the world. And we are having a great show, as we always do, with our guests and all of the great information we're able to put out. America's Heroes Group, of course. And we have one of my favorite people on our live line right now. Most of you know him already, because of all the great things he has done, not only as a soldier, but in civilian life. He is Colonel Eugene Scott, a retired U.S. Army, a Vietnam veteran. And all of you know about all the great things that he's done, and if you don't, you'll know now, that's for sure. Colonel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Cliff. How are you today?
Good, good, good. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. I know you...
My pleasure.
You're keeping busy as always. Listen, this is something coming up that is just great. This 100th anniversary gala for the George L. Giles Post, number 87 of the American Legion. Isn't that something? Tell us about it.
This is a great time to celebrate and recognize this great African-American Legion Post that is 100 years old this year. They have been at this location. In fact, I'm currently at a open house at the post on 57th and State Street.
Mm-hmm.
The post has been in this location for 75 of its 100 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And having an open house, the local community, and all the veterans. And Cliff, I was just so happy to see a young veteran from Afghanistan and his wife. And they said they heard the information on the radio about a week ago, and they came out to celebrate, and they want to join the post. That is the future for this 100-year-old post.
Isn't that great?
That was mm-hmm. so great to see this bubbly young couple in their 20s or 30s saying that they want to be a member of the post and they like what they hear and see, and I was just elated.
Colonel Scott, that's great. And I know you would be here in the studio with us, except that's where you are. You're at the post, right?
I'm at the post.
Yeah, because it was open today from open house from 12 noon to 5 p.m., which is just, half an hour ago, and that's where you are. So
that's correct.
Yeah.
And then they're planning for their gala, which is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
To help, celebrate this 100-year occasion. It's so fitting that I can participate in this because it really says a lot for a black post to still be around after 100 years old.
Oh, absolutely, Doc. I mean, it's, Colonel Scott, it's amazing. And the thing that is just great, too, is that I didn't realize that until you just said it. I knew it was 100 years old, and I know it's been there. at 5745 South State Street for a long time, but you say it's been there for 75 years.
Yes, it's been there for 75 years. So it's just so much history.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and see the former commanders, like the founder of the Post, and George Giles, who the Post was named for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a truly a blessing that our black veterans have made this contribution to our community. The Post is one of the centerpieces for our community, and held special events and occasions here at the club for our community members to participate in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about George L. Giles?
Yeah. First, let me tell you, in September, I was in France and got to stand next to George L. Giles Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
His grave site at Soissons, France. And he was buried there November the 2nd, 1918.
Mm.
And it was an honor to stand next to his gravesite. And I also had an opportunity to visit the location where he was killed. And it sent shockwaves through my system to step back in time and be at those locations.
Now,
and Giles was George Giles was a lieutenant, and he was moving with his men in a community called Chambry, France, and an artillery round exploded over him and his platoon, and he was killed. He was the only officer of the 370th Regiment from Chicago that was killed in World War I.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow. And at that time, Colonel Scott, were we meaning African-American soldiers, were we fighting under the American flag or the French flag?
We were fighting under the French flag,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because of America's segregation policies and laws, the Army did not want black officers commanding white soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to send this unit, this all-black unit that had all-black officers, to fight with the French, and that was problematic in itself. Supply systems. They had to change over their weapons from American weapons to French. Hey, there's a war going on, and you're changing your weapons. You know,
it
just seems crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, those are some of the things that we did back then to keep and support our policy of segregation in the armed forces. Thank God that's over with, and I never experienced those things in my 28 years of service in combat.
Yeah. But the fact that was even necessary is so ridiculous. And the thing that Colonel Scott, that of course, you know, we've talked about this before, but that monument there at 35th Street.
Yeah, the monument, the Victory Monument,
right,
which is a memorial to those soldiers of the 370th Infantry Regiment that were killed in France.
Yep.
That monument is dedicated to those soldiers. All 142 names, to include Lieutenant Giles, are inscribed on that monument. And it's a testament to their bravery and their patriotism, and all Chicagoans and all Americans should honor that monument for its memorial status.
And as we were there not too long ago, Colonel, and we discussed this, there are so many people who pass there every day and have no idea what that monument is.
Yeah, we can do a little better than that to recognize our soldiers that have made the supreme sacrifice. Can you imagine what they went through in France, having to change weapons and combat uniforms and a different supply system and different rations? Come on, that is just, I can't even imagine that. You know, it's enough hell going on in combat than for somebody to say, give me your weapon and you take this weapon and start firing that weapon.
Right, exactly. And all of that is necessary, Colonel Scott, only because of racism.
That's what it was all about,
yep.
Racism. And those soldiers should be hailed for going to France and coming back with all the medals of valor from both the French and the American government.
Yeah, yeah, because the Americans finally did recognize that, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, after the fact. <You know>? Yeah, that is really something. So they got medals from both. And, of course, there's that great the military academy there, too.
Yeah, but we're really proud of that Chicago Military Academy, which is the home, the armory home of the unit that went to France in World War One, and we were very fortunate with some of our stellar citizens and Senator Carol Mosley Braun to get the money to turn that into probably one of the most elite high school military academies in the country. In fact, for a long time, it was the only one in the country, right there in Bronzeville. And it's a tremendous facility.
It certainly is. And those of us who are old enough, Colonel Scott, can remember when there were trees growing out of there.
Yeah, that was Chuck Bourne and the help of some other stalwarts in the community made that happen. And Mayor Daley and Paul Vallis and others made that happen. And it's a testament to what we ground root people can do to make things happen in the community.
It certainly is. And Chuck and I are friends, as you are with him. And it was just so great that he was able to bring some people together and others, as you mentioned, because to think about what that place was, you know, and what it is now. In fact, I'm sorry, Colonel.
You often talk about the tree that was growing through the roof.
Right, exactly. And I got to say this, too. I was so pleased. The first day that academy opened, the Chicago Military Academy, the first day that it opened, Colonel Scott, I was working mornings then at a station, and we broadcast live from there on the first.
Oh, great. Yes, yep. I do remember that.
That's too. Right.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
That was great news. You've been an integral part of everything that has been significant in our community. And I just, again, my hat's off to you for being, you know, intimately involved in helping young people and helping the veterans and the soldiers of our community.
Well, that's because I know people like Colonel Eugene Scott, and I know what to do.
You know? Okay.
That's how I'm able to do that. If anybody would like
to make that continue.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Right.
Call in numbers 312-374-8130. Colonel Eugene Scott just giving us some great information. And the event, of course, the 100th anniversary of the George L. Giles Post, number 87 of the American Legion, 100 years at 5745 South State Street. And he would be in the studio with me today, except for the fact that he's there because they had an open house, which was just ending. And then tomorrow, Sunday, August 18th, there's an event there from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Is that right, Colonel Scott?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And the community is welcome to stop in. There are ticket sales, but feel free to stop by and support this wonderful organization that's been a stellar organization in the community for over 100 years.
And, you know, your experience is so great in your history. because you're able to help so many people understand certain things. But Colonel Scott, the one thing that you mentioned was your being able to be there at the gravesite of George L. Giles, right?
Yes. I took those, I took the color guards from the Chicago Military Academy and the King High School Jazz Band to France to participate in World War One commemoration ceremony.
Oh, great.
And they were just
great.
So happy to see those young people. And, of course, you know, it was the experience of a lifetime for the young people to fly, you know, nonstop to Paris and mm-hmm, to stay in mm-hmm. top hotels and eat French food.
Yeah, that's great.
It's
great.
It was something. It's something they'll remember the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. When was that, Colonel?
That was September the 10th to September the 19th. And last year.
I didn't remember the dates, but that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll remember that. That's for sure.
Yeah, they were so happy about that experience.
I just think that it's, there's so many folks who don't know the history, and it's so important that we do know the history, and that's one of the things that you have been so great at doing. Is making sure that people know it. Now, like you just said, those children, those young people, rather, that you took there will never forget that.
No,
and they'll be helping other people remember it.
Yeah.
Colonel Eugene Scott is with us. Let's take a caller for our guest. Commander Davis is with us. Commander Davis, hi. You're on WVON with Colonel Scott. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, Cliff and Colonel Scott.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
I'm Commander Robert Davis of American Legion Post 740 and formerly commander and founder of Post American Legion Post 800.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to commend you two guys. Between the two of you, there's a lot of history that you share with us younger veterans that I spent 34 years in.
Wow.
And throughout my young career, and Colonel Scott, you were two of the guys that I looked up to.
Oh, great.
So
I just want to let your public know that next Friday, August the 23rd, from noon to 4, we're having a veterans barbecue and picnic at Ogden Park, sponsored by 17th Ward Alderman David Moore.
Okay.
Bring your own grill. There's free food, drinks, bingo, horseshoes, dominoes, health screens. All of that will take part at the Ogden Park at 6500 South Racine Avenue from noon until 4.
That's great.
I will be joined by the Tuskegee Airmen, the American Legion and the Buffalo Soldiers and members of the 17th Ward and some politicians, and Senator Tammy Duckworth has confirmed that she will be there.
That's great.
That is great. That is wonderful.
This is an opportunity for the veterans and their families to come out to a veterans and family event. Too many times we have a stand down or things of that relevance, and our families don't get a chance to participate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But for somebody who has participated in Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraq, and Afghanistan, I couldn't have done it without family and support.
Commander Davis, with 34 years, my goodness, Colonel Scott, he's been in every war.
Let me commend him for what he does with veterans and families, and that he recognizes that without the families, none of this could be done. They provide a tremendous line of support for the veterans.
That is just great. Commander Davis, that 34 years, again, congratulations on that. But that's Friday, August 23rd, right?
Friday, August 23rd.
Right. Ogden
from
Park.
From noon until 4.
Uh-huh.
There will be several state and local agencies there to mm-hmm. participate. And we just looking to have a good time and to celebrate veterans and their families.
Sounds great.
And hopefully make this an annual event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
Sounds great. Sounds wonderful, Commander. Thank you so much for your call. Keep up the great work, okay?
All right. I appreciate you, Cliff and Colonel Scott. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, sir.
Certainly.
That's right. That is just great, Commander Davis. We have another caller. Let's go to Kirk.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Kirk. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Great.
Look, Giles Post.
Yes.
A lot of people may not know this, but they used to sponsor a drum and bugle corps, the Giles Yellow Jackets.
Hmm.
And in 1954, under the direction of Mr. John M. Turner, they won the national championship for the Sons of the American Legion competition in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And Mr. Turner was also instrumental in putting in an age limit on junior drum and bugle corps where you could be in between, I think it was like 13 to 21, and then in the senior corps, which were much bigger on the East Coast. And also, Giles Avenue is named for Lieutenant Giles.
That's correct.
And there was a big, huge ceremony. Mm-hmm. Thousands of people turned out for that name change of that street. And that's the first street in Chicago that was named for a black American.
Wow.
Yes, it certainly
that
was.
That was during William Hale Thompson's administration.
As a mayor.
Yeah.
Right. And also, First Lady Michelle Obama's father was also a member of the Giles Yellow Jackets.
Isn't that something?
That is correct.
Oh,
back to the 40s.
We got all these people with this great history.
Mr. Kerr, this is Glenda. Can you stay on the line so I can get your number? I want to do some historical things with you. So just stay on the line so I can get your number, sir.
So, Kirk, this is just some great information.
Yeah, I was in the Yellow Jackets from my brother went in 59, and I used to tag along with him, and Mr. Turner let me come in at a real young age, and we used to practice over at Washington Park over near the boathouse, our drill and everything.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
And that was they took kids off the street who had never played musical instruments and turned them into national champions.
Wow.
And we were exposed during that time to the veterans, which I knew all about, and I did a whole thing in school about it, about the black veterans from World War One and their experience, and also World War Two, from being around all of these veterans
That's great. Listen, this is great information. You hold on, because Glenda wants to get some information from you. And thank you so much for that great information, okay?
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. That's great information. Let's go to Brother Hall. Brother Hall, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I know you only got a few minutes, man. I just wanted to call in to say this is probably one of the best shows that I've heard since I've been listening to it, Cliff, and I just commend you and Glenda. She is just a super, super, super producer.
Yes, she is.
And we thank, she is. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your guest that you have on today. And again, the key word is that drill team. Marshall and the Shylights and all of us back in the day was in the PDC. We started in drill teams and a whole lot of others. Now, you don't have the time to listen to it, but that's key to our community today. Our children need to know about the drill. That's very, very important.
You make an excellent point, Brother Hall.
And all right then, my brother. Take care now, okay?
And thank you for your compliments. We appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's great. Colonel Scott, this is great information, isn't it? I mean, the history, you know, first black, the Giles Avenue, first street named for of African American, you know, this sort of thing. It's just a lot of great information. And when you think about 100th year anniversary, that in itself, you know, Earl B. Dickerson was the founder in 1919. A lot of people don't know who Earl B. Dickerson was.
Right.
Yep. Ashley Shine was the commander, Ashley Shine Jr.
Yes.
Not now, yeah, but Earl B. Dickerson was a politician and lawyer and just a great gentleman, obviously. Colonel
yeah,
Scott?
And he also was the first black law school graduate from the University of Chicago.
Right, absolutely. He sure was.
Yep.
Colonel Scott, you're great. I want to thank you so much, okay?
My pleasure, Cliff. You know, anytime you can call on me 24/7.
I know it. Love you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Love you, too.
All right. Okay.
Yes, Colonel Scott, and we'll see you tomorrow for the 100-year celebration. Yay, George L. Jobs.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Okay.
All
righty.
All right. Take care.
That's Glenda, you heard, which will be telling us more in just a moment. Our digital media producer is Manico Rosari, and our digital media assistant, Derek Wallace.
And our technical producer for today is Mr. Delvin Randall. Great job, great job. Sitting in for our girl, Tiara Randall. Regarding information about America's Heroes Group, please feel free to call about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, any concerns or questions that you may have. We are always at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250, Chicago, Illinois, 60606. We are sincerely thankful for you watching us live on Facebook. Please make sure you hit the Like Facebook button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will stay connected and will receive notifications regarding future shows, events, information, and resources regarding veterans, armed forces, family members, and our communities. We are sincerely grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle, of the Chicago Crusaders articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members, which can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusader.com. But to subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column with the governor of Talk Radio, the one and only Mr. Cliff Kelly and Voices, America's Heroes Group, please call the Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads, that's ADS, at ChicagoCrusaders.com to request a subscription. To all of our heart listeners, to all of our supporters, to all the panelists and the community outreach, we are sincerely grateful and respect you so much for your participation.